can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ariane, and I'm joined here with the always beautiful Heidi.
Oh, thank you.
She's always so cute.
Oh.
We are going to be reviewing the movies Mary Poppins, the one that came out in 1964, and also the new Mary Poppins Returns that just came out this December, I think the 19th. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with the old one from 1964. It was released August... Again, 1964. It was directed by Robert Stevenson. And the summary of this movie, if you haven't seen it, is about two kids, Jane and Michael Banks, who have run off basically every nanny they have ever had. Their parents, the Bankses, are like pretty wealthy, you know, people. And anyway, so that's, you know, Mary Poppins swoops in and just takes over the position as nanny. Mary Poppins isn't your ordinary nanny. She takes Jane and Michael on a few magical and fantastical adventures with the help of her good friend Bert, who is a chimney sweep or whatever you want to call that profession.
Yeah, chimney sweep.
So that's just the basic of it. Mary Poppins is played by Julie Andrews. Bert is played by Dick Van Dyke. Jane was played by Karen Daughtress? Sure. Yeah. Michael was played by Matthew Garber. George Banks, the dad, was played by David Tomlinson. Winifred Banks, the mom, was played by Glynis Johns. This is definitely a old-fashioned movie. Like, you can just tell, like, the difference. If you're used to movies now, you can tell the time, like, difference of it all. But it's kind of cool because they mix cartoon, like, basic two-dimension cartoon with like actual real life. That's kind of the fun part. Now Disney's done that with a few. My favorite one that Disney did that with was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh,
ever seen that?
Yeah,
that was my favorite one that they did that with. So it was more entertaining. This one is the film kind of portrayed the kids to be like little heathens, like just super horrible kids, which I don't think they were. Like, they seemed like they were, but anything like the parents or Mary Poppins asked them to do, they were like, okay, I'll just do it. Like, they didn't talk back. They were not like, no, do it yourself, or you know, stuff like that. They were just
was
like,
it like just like they were portrayed like bad to the other nannies, maybe?
Yeah, I
kind of get that feeling.
Yeah.
I also remember the cartoon scene was like the most memorable thing for me as a kid in that movie. It's what stuck with me the most.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was amazing that they could do that.
I know. Talk to like cartoon
right,
characters.
Little penguins dancing. I thought it was like crazy.
Yeah. It was weird, too. The thing was like when Bert would like his. Okay. I just have to say his accent.
Oh, terrible.
His speech and accent in general, it was so annoying. I was like, why don't you just like let him be regular?
I don't know. He does like a terrible accent because they're all kind of doing like the British accent, right? And I felt like Bert's played by Dick Van Dyke, his is like, he's almost like trying to do like a Cockney accent.
Yeah, and it was like thick Cockney accent,
annoying and not real.
Yeah,
like,
it
it's
was
not a convincing accent.
It was horrible. This, when you watch it, just understand, like, don't be like, oh, this is so lame, the visual's so whack. Yeah, it was done in 1964.
Yeah.
They used what they could. Just really remember that.
At the time, it was revolutionary.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. to mix real life with cartoon is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, what did you just do there? Yeah.
Blew your mind.
Yeah.
In 1964.
Exactly. And you can totally tell, like, when there was obviously like a green screen or a blue screen and the actors were there in front of it. You can see it. You can totally see it, but it still makes it fun. What I really loved about Mary Poppins, the choreography is what stood out the most. This is a musical. Both of them are musicals. If you don't like musicals, don't go watch these. But the choreography, I would have to say, was the best part of both of these movies. I wouldn't by choice just sit down and watch these movies just because. It's just like, oh, I kind of, you know, wanted to do a review on them. So that's why I went and watched them. But the choreography blew me away. My favorite part, my favorite choreography in Mary Poppins 1964 was when all the chimney sweeps were doing their little bit.
Yes.
Like that was super cool to me. I don't know what it was, but that was just the best one.
Yeah, I agree. Growing up, that was definitely my favorite. And then probably after that was Supercalifragilistic, just because, again, the cartoon part.
And I feel everybody knows that. Yes, even if they don't know the dance, they know the song.
Right. If you don't know this, I agree. And everyone knows the word.
Yeah.
I mean, can I even say it's a word?
No, I think it's just a made up supercalifragilistic expialidocious.
Everyone knows that. I don't know. Yeah, everyone does. Also, I agree. The Chimney Sweep song's my favorite. And I liked Bert. But even as a kid, I was like, why does he sound like that?
Yeah.
I think it's weird. Yeah. But it's charming. It's so charming.
It is. Bert has to be there. Like, if he wasn't there, it would just be weird. Like
he adds lightness to it because Mary really Poppins does. Is very stern.
He really, exactly, yeah. She tries to be fun, but she's just, because she can do all this amazing stuff,
right,
but
she
has to be like, yeah, she has to be ladylike and proper and all that stuff. So Bert definitely gives it that kind of like splash of funness. And his facial expressions, if you can get past the accent, his facial expressions are hilarious.
Yeah.
Like you can even just put it on mute and watch his face and you're just like, wow, and just die laughing at his facial expressions.
Dick
amazing.
Van Dyke is a very good comedic actress. Mm-hmm. I think he did really well in this role. And I think this is the role that really put Julie Andrews on the map.
Yeah, it did.
And made her, you know, famous.
And she's amazing too.
She's
now.
So
yeah.
Good.
I do want to say that it was, as I was watching this, I was like, okay, I'm one of those people who, like you all know, I talk to the screen. So when they, I watched this one at home, but
oh, good.
I know when Mary Poppins takes the kids to the park and then they see Bert there and he has like all this sidewalk art that he did and they jump into the sidewalk art in one of the pictures and they're just like, oh yeah, there's a fair up around that hill over the hill or, you know, and whatever. And the kids just like go. And for a good like 20, 30 minutes, Bert and Mary Poppins have their own like little dance number and like little date thing. I'm just like, what happened to these children? Where did they go? And who's watching them? They just go off by themselves. Like, you don't say how far over the hill this fair or park is.
It's a perfectly safe cartoon world.
Yeah, right? And I'm just like, huh? Like, why is nobody, they have like their little picnic set up, like they're having tea, they sit down, they dance with penguins. It's just weird. Like, that threw me. I was like, the penguins were cute.
Yep.
The penguins were super cute. But the whole like scene of it, I'm just like, where did the kids go? Who's watching the kids?
I also, there are like many little details about Mary Poppins that I like, but I do agree with you. This movie is not my favorite because I'm not a huge musical person.
Right.
And like, which I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you like musicals, you will like this film.
Right, right.
But I'm just not into musicals. So it's a little difficult for me, despite all the things that I really enjoy about it, because I liked them as a kid. When I'm an adult, I'm like, but they're just in song again. Like, I just want to go back to the story.
Right.
Even though Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is very cute and the Chimney Sweep song is cute. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of music.
It is. I feel it is a lot of music too, because it's like every other scene, they're breaking out into song and dance. So I'm just like, I like musicals to a point. Like, I have to like the story. Like, I liked Rent in Chicago. But Mary Poppins, I would not sit down and watch this just because I think it's entertaining. No, it's not. But I'm sure it was entertaining for like the people like back then. You know
I'm
what
sure,
I mean?
Like because back then kids loved it.
Yeah, it was a huge hit, and I do want to say my favorite character in it. Like I really liked Bert. I liked the whole dance scene with the chimney sweeps. But the neighbor, his name I forget his name, but he was like an old Admiral Bloom. Yes, mm-hmm. So he was a old Navy man, sailor guy, but he made out the top of his house into like the deck area of a ship. It was mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, it looks super cool. It's like the treehouse you always wanted.
Exactly. And this is like right there on the top of his house. So I'm just like, oh, that's amazing. He has like the steer and everything. He has like a little, you know, first mate helps him.
I love him and his first mate.
Yeah. And every hour on the hour, almost on the hour, his clock is a little slow, but he tries to time it with Big Ben. So like every hour on the hour, he shoots off this cannon at the top of his house. I don't think he's like really shooting anything off, he's just making the cannon cannon noise, but it shakes like the whole house, the Banks's house, and then like even in it you can hear like the mom like, oh, everybody man your posts, because it shakes the whole house. I think that is awesome, but I would hate to live there. Like if he was my neighbor, I would be so mad.
Yeah, because they have to stop and like make sure the piano doesn't roll away and that like vases don't just fall on the ground and break.
Right.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I do want to mention a great deal that's going on with Audible right now. So Audible has a bunch of very, very large variety of audiobooks. And if you start a 30-day trial, your first audiobook is free. For more information for Audible, go to audible.com/GSMC movie or text GSMC movie to 500-500. Again, that's audible.com/GSMC movie or text GSMC movie to 500-500. Find out about Audible, see what you can listen to. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about more Mary Poppins.
What happens to your decision making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We're going to continue talking about Mary Poppins, the original 1964. We just spoke about Admiral Bloom and how he set off a cannon every hour, which was fun, but I would hate to be a neighbor or anybody even in that neighborhood because you know you would hear that. That's loud.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say that, Mary Poppins was fun. She's a fun character. Like, she's entertaining, she's proper, she's strict, she's magical. Like, you can do, if you have an imagination, she just makes it super fun. Bert makes it super fun. Like, I feel like that character had to be in there.
Yes.
You know, without it, it would have been weird. Like, for her to just bring these kids just randomly, like, without a companion, you know? There was a scene in here that I thought was hilarious. So at the very beginning, the mom is coming back from, like, a union rally.
Or a suffrage rally, because she's for women's voting rights.
Yeah, women's voting rights. And so, like, she's wearing a sash that says Votes for Women, and she's all about, like, the future and getting things going for women and just moving forward. And she goes into a whole song and dance about that. And then I want to say, like, 10 minutes after that, the dad has his own song and dance about how he loves being the head of the household and everything's so classic and it's just the way it should be and everybody listens to the man and he's the boss. And I'm just like, what? Like, these are so contradicting. How are you guys married? Because she thinks one way and he thinks the complete opposite way, but they're just both like having this amazing like relationship, because I don't know, it was weird. I was just like, that doesn't seem right. So I don't know.
Yeah, I also want to mention a great companion film for the Mary Poppins films, or the Disney movie Saving Mr. Banks,
yeah,
which is about Disney making Mary Poppins and then him trying to basically get the rights to the story from the author of Mary Poppins, P.L. Travers. And I think it's a great story.
It is, yeah.
It goes, you get a better appreciation for Mary Poppins and for the author, which I definitely did. It's kind of a, you know, sort of a sad story.
Yeah.
Her life was very difficult. But I think if you want to maybe like go into watching the new Mary Poppins, Mary Poppins Returns, watching this film, Saving Mr. Banks, might be a nice companion film. And it has Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson, which I don't think you can go wrong with those two actors.
Right. No, not at all.
And it has Paul Giamatti, who for like one of the few times in his life gets to play a nice character. So good for him.
Yeah. Is it hard? I didn't get to watch that one. Is it hard to watch him play a good character?
No, he's great. He's great at it. I feel bad. I feel like he's always typecast as like the guy you don't like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the bad manager or something.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that one. I'm going to go back and watch that one because I like to see the story. Like, my sister told me the story about how the author of Mary Poppins and all the whole drama behind there. But I feel like that it's like Heidi said, it is a good companion movie for these, both of these movies, either one.
Yeah, I highly suggest it.
What year was Saving Mr. Banks? When did that come out?
That was recent, I think, actually. I don't know.
I'll have to go look that up. But... yeah. We're going to move on to Mary Poppins Returns, released December 19th, 2018. Director was Rob Marshall. So this movie, it shows Jane and Michael Banks. They're all grown up. Jane is single and she lives in a flat not far from her brother Michael, who actually still lives in the Banks's family home where they grew up. Michael is a widow. His wife passed away about around a year prior. Michael has three kids, Annabelle, John, and Georgie, which is so cute because the dad's name was George, so they named him Georgie.
Oh, that is cute.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. That's cute.
Yeah, George Banks. So I'm just like, oh, the little one's little Georgie. Anyway, Michael is faced with a dilemma dealing with the family house. And so Mary Poppins returns to, as she puts it, I'm here to look after the Banks children. And she's actually there to look after and help Jane and Michael. But, you know, when she says, I'm here to look after the Banks children, the Annabelle, John, and Georgie, like Annabelle says, oh, you're here to be our nanny. And she kind of like addresses them and she's like, oh, yeah, you guys too. So I really liked that line. I was like, yeah, that's clever. But if you think that she's there for, you know, just the next generation, it's not like she's
there for the whole family.
Yeah, she is. So I guess like her job, like I want to say like with the families that she goes to. I mean, we obviously only know about the Bankses, but yeah, she's there to look after the Bankses' children. Yeah, like I said, meaning Jane and Michael, but also watching over the three children because she takes, she of course takes Annabelle, John, and Georgie on a bunch of fantastical, magical adventures, just like she did Jane and Michael when they were younger. Mm-hmm. Mary Poppins is played by Emily Blunt. She did an amazing job.
Yeah, she was great.
Portrayed Mary. Yeah, like Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what's her name? Julie Andrews, like, set the bar for Mary Poppins.
Yeah, so it was set high.
Yeah. And I want to say that Emily Blunt, she delivered. She did a really good job. Ben Whishaw plays Michael. Emily Mortimer plays Jane. And then Dick Van Dyke makes an appearance in this. He played Bert in the original, but in this one, he plays Mr. Dawes Jr., who's actually the bank. Like the bank owner's like brother or something like that.
Yeah, he basically, yeah.
Yeah, runs the bank.
Runs the bank.
And then Meryl Streep is in this. She plays Topsy. They call her Topsy Turvy. She has like a longer name. But if you remember the original, Mary Poppins visits her cousin and it's a man and they like laugh and they float up to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Well, Meryl Streep plays Topsy and she plays Mary Poppins' cousin. So that's how the relationship there is. And then Ellen, who's the Banks's housekeeper, she came back too. So if in the original, the Banks's had a housekeeper. Her name was Ellen. The housekeeper came back, and it's not the original cast person, but it's Julie Walters. You might know her. She played Miss Weasley in the Harry Potter films. Mm-hmm. So, and she did a great job. She looks different without the red hair. I want to say that.
Also, Lin-Manuel Miranda is in here, and he plays Jack. The lamplighter. He was great too.
Yeah,
I loved him in this film. I was so impressed.
Instead of chimney sweeps, they have lamplighters.
Right, they just chose a different laborer position.
Exactly. That's so horrible.
They just chose like someone who wears a similar outfit.
Exactly.
But just a slightly different job.
Does the same thing.
And
almost.
It's interesting they chose someone who has also a prop. Like Bert always has a chimney sweep.
Yeah.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda always has like a ladder.
A ladder, yeah.
So, yeah.
They did a good job. I want to say this, I don't really want to say it's a sequel to it. It's more like a remake. Heidi was mentioning that to me earlier off air. But it does seem more like a remake because it's the exact same. They go on the same adventures. They like not the exact same, but similar adventures, just like kind of tweaked a little bit, of course.
And here's what I want to say about that is like I did mention like I do feel like it's like a remake, but it's also supposed to be a sequel because the Banks children are older.
Right, exactly.
But it almost feels like the people who made it just wanted to watch Mary Poppins again, but they just chose Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like, they just wanted a different cast.
Yeah.
It feels like if you like Mary Poppins and you just want to watch it again, but, like, with modern filmmaking.
Yeah, modern technology.
Then basically, that's this movie.
Right.
Because, like, even their outline of stories is almost the same. Like, when you were talking about in the old Mary Poppins, they're in, like, the cartoon world, and they're like, oh, we're going to go to the fair over there. That's, like, exactly what happens. And because they have another cartoon world in this film, which is also great and charming and very well done. Like, that's, like, the same story plot. Like,
yeah,
plot
it is.
Point.
Yeah.
It's just like a little bit almost darker, actually.
It seemed darker just because
which
with
is
the
more intense.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's just trying to say kids' tastes are more intense now,
right?
Which probably is true. But yeah, no, I would say it's almost a remake.
Yeah, it is.
Slightly updated.
Right. Because
the accent for the lamplighter is a lot better.
Yes. It really was.
Thank God.
It's something you can listen to.
Yes.
You really can. And without just being like, oh, wow, that was horrible.
Yeah.
This one, the second one, the choreography, again, amazing in this one. I loved the choreography in this one. My favorite was when all the lamplighters did their little bit. I don't know what it, I just was just like all these guys just dancing. And the choreography was amazing. I don't know what to say about it. It was great.
Also, so like in the chimney sweep dance number in the first film was great. You had a bunch of guys dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You have that similarly with the lamplighters in this, is a bunch of guys dancing. But in this one, they have bikes.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I loved the mix of like putting like, just guys dancing on like, you know, out in the streets.
Yeah.
But then you have it mixed with like people doing like BMX tricks.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Because lamplighters use bikes too.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was also great. That was a great number.
It really was. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you liked the chimney sweep dance selection in the first one, you'll really like this one. We're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I want to mention a awesome deal that's going on right now with Audible. They have a huge selection of audiobooks, anything you could think of, mysteries, thrillers, biographies, science fiction, anything. If you start and sign up for a 30-day trial, your first audiobook is free. And if you want to find out more information about that, just go to audible.com/GSMC movie or text GSMC movie to 500-500. Again, go to audible.com/movie or text audible.com/GSMC movie or text GSMC movie to 500-500. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and finish talking about Mary Poppins Returns.
What happens to your decision making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We're going to finish and continue talking about Mary Poppins Returns, the one that was just recently released. I do want to say, if you enjoyed the first Mary Poppins, you will definitely enjoy this one. They're basically almost the same thing, kind of slightly different, but not too much. It's like Heidi said, is basically a remake, but you will enjoy it. I do want to say Meryl Streep's character was hilarious. I loved her outfit, like the whole craziness of it all. And she did an accent. I don't know what kind of accent it was.
It's a little confusing. It was almost like a Russian accent.
Yeah.
Maybe even almost kind of German, but it's like, it's not, you won't hear it and be like, that's definitely German. Or definitely Russian.
Right.
I would say it's a little mix. And they even comment that in the film.
Yeah.
Like the character Jack, played by Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's like, oh, that's interesting accent. Like they even bring it up because it's not straight from life, you know?
Right.
It's a little different.
But she did a good job with it though. It's not like irritating or you know just like, what is going on? No, she played it well.
I did not love that part. I was a little annoyed by it, to be honest.
Yeah,
not necessarily because of her accent. I just was like, I feel like they're just putting in Meryl Streep just to have Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
which I mean, she is great. And I was like, oh, they're having like a dance number with her, which I thought was fun. But I was like a little annoyed. And they never got the bowl back.
No, they didn't.
Which bothered me. That plot point never concluded.
Right.
And I was annoyed.
And if you don't know what bowl Heidi's talking about, watch the movie. You'll know.
You'll know.
Yeah. But I liked how they correlated with, because Meryl Streep was supposed to play Mary Poppins' cousin. And in the original, Mary Poppins' cousin was an older gentleman, and he was like floating on top of like, floating up near his ceiling because he was just dying laughing.
Yeah,
like,
he was laughing.
Yeah, laughing so hard. And then the kids and everybody start laughing and they all float up towards the ceiling. But in this rendition, Mary Poppins' cousin is Meryl Streep, Topsy. And instead of them floating up to the ceiling, her house is flipped upside down. So on the ceiling.
I did like how they did that. Which, I mean, again, it's just like you're basically just remaking the movie.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, I did think that was creative.
Yeah.
I found her character kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Which is hard for me because I love Meryl Streep and I don't want to find her annoying.
Right.
But I, like, personally, it was just a little much for me. Maybe it was the accent. I don't know. Something about it.
It was super extra. Like, her house was, like, it was packed of just, like, random knickknacks and everything.
Yeah.
It was just super extra. Her outfit, everything was super extra. But I think that's why I liked it is because she made it, like, I don't know, she made it super extra in a good way.
Yeah,
like it was just over the top, just way over the top, but she definitely made it work.
Another actor that I think we should mention. So we did say that Dick Van Dyke does make an appearance. I don't feel like I want to give away completely how that happens, but I will say he shows up.
Yeah, he
and
does. Randomly.
Randomly.
It's just random.
It's random. And I really enjoyed seeing Dick Van Dyke. I really like him as an actor. How do I say this? Arion, you had mentioned earlier off air to me that he did play multiple characters in the original Mary Poppins.
Yeah, he played another character instead of just Bert.
He plays in the bank?
He plays somebody in the bank.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting, which makes me feel a little bit better about how everything happened. But without giving that away, I will also mention something that bothered me about this film. It felt almost like it had like an Ex Machina ending. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I mean like when a film or a story, it feels like it can't reach a conclusion and that like a plot point shouldn't have a resolvable ending. And then suddenly it does get resolved in a way that like doesn't make any sense. Like it almost seems contrived. Like the solution just kind of comes out of nowhere. And I sort of felt that with this film, and it bothered me. I felt like it was too implausible, and I was okay with the fact that they went into a cartoon world.
Right.
You know, like, I was okay with that. because that's like Mary Poppins fantastical.
Right.
But the ending to me felt contrived. And I was like, I don't believe this should have happened right. this way.
And it should have like built up to that, or
there should have been more like clues.
Yeah,
that would
something.
Happen.
I also, you got to watch it. You'll like, know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And in the film, there's the problem that Michael, the father, is dealing with is the house is going to be repossessed.
Right. Exactly.
Because it like takes place during the British, like basically their Great Depression. Yeah, which
exactly.
they called like the Great
the
Slump.
The Great Slump. Yeah.
Which is so British.
I know.
It's such a British way to describe it.
Which is interesting because to have it in that time and just have it want, making it want to be a little bit more modern. But putting it so far, I don't know. I was yeah. just like, this is...
That was interesting.
Yeah.
But, like, they need to get a piece of paper that proves they have shares in the bank so they can pay off the house.
Right.
Because Michael owes the bank a loan. But, like, basically, I would say from the very beginning that it is introduced, yeah. I saw where they were going to get the paper.
Me too. I saw it too.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I've ruined the movie for myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you thought that. Yeah, okay. I mean, we're not children. This
right.
is meant for children.
Exactly. But. When I saw it, I was just all like, how long is it going to take them
right.
to figure that
exactly.
out?
Exactly. And then there was like 15 more musical numbers before they
exactly.
got to the end.
Because
like,
it shows
God.
It at the beginning. And
yes.
then you have to wait the whole movie for them to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, I felt the same way. I knew exactly where the paper was.
So I was like, all right, any time now you're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Any minute now.
Waiting.
Oh, five more
yeah.
musical numbers. Any time now. It's been 5 minutes. They're
exactly.
going to say it again.
I do want to say, though, Heidi mentioned the penguins. She loved the penguins.
I did.
They do make an appearance
yes.
in the second one. So that's fun. And they look just like they did in the
they
first
do.
One.
Which is almost like, because it's almost like a remake, I feel like a lot of this movie has parts that are almost like fan service.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, oh, I remember when they did that in the original.
Yeah.
They're kind of doing it here. Like, I loved the penguins, and they're bringing them back.
Exactly.
Which I do love the penguins, and I did love seeing them again.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite, I did like the choreography and the dance number for, like I said, the lamplighters. But my favorite song that they did was about like the book. Like the cover of the books that Mary Poppins
that
does.
That really was used to like display how great Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel
yeah.
Miranda are.
Yeah.
That like was just to like basically prove to all of us how great actors and singers and dancers
oh, yeah.
they were.
Yeah. They were amazing. Their outfits I did not like. I was like, are you serious? No. But
oh,
I get why I know why they had to make them like
yeah.
that because they were in the cartoon world.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I couldn't look at it. I was just like, this is so hard to watch right now. But they did a great job. That was my favorite song and dance number in that film.
Yeah.
It was
just
to
show them
great.
Off.
Yeah, it really was. I will say that I wasn't too much of a fan of either one of these movies. Like I said, I'm not going to sit down and watch them for my own entertainment. But I will say this is a cute movie for kids. For kids, or if you're like a baby boomer age and you remember the original Mary Poppins
yeah.
and really enjoyed it and kind of want to reflect back and kind of get those memories back, at that age, you will also
yeah.
enjoy the Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah.
So I think those are the age groups, I would say, that this movie targets, because teenagers, 20-year-olds, like they I don't want to say if you like musicals you might, but it's not targeted for you guys. Don't,
or you know, you might love Mary Poppins, like
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
in my 20s and I know people who love Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Well, do I? I don't know, but
yeah.
I could see that, like, if you really like Mary Poppins of any age,
yeah.
you might like to see it again,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes when they remake things, you're just like, oh, they ruined it. I don't feel like that
no.
with this. I don't feel like they ruined the original. It's just not a new film,
right?
Because you kind of already
it's
seen
just
the plot
upgraded
points.
Basically
yeah, that's a good
yeah.
way to put it. I feel like it's just upgraded,
right?
And that's okay if
yeah.
you're into that.
It
also
is.
I am curious though if a lot of kids will like it, because I think it takes a certain kid now,
mm-hmm.
because in the 60s I feel like it had a certain charm to it that kids at that time would like.
Right.
I'm not sure it has that charm for kids nowadays.
It's,
so I'm curious.
Yeah.
I was in a theater with some children and there weren't tons of laughs, I will say.
Yeah.
And so I think it takes a certain kid to like it.
Right. This will definitely be like, if you go see it with your kids and you enjoyed the older version, you can talk to your kids about, oh, when I watched it, this is what happened and it was different like this. Like, you guys can compare
Your family could watch both.
Yeah. And you don't even have to watch the first one to really understand the second one. It's just one of those ones that you can just go in and watch, and it's basically there. Like, there's no explaining.
You don't need to, like, read about it beforehand.
Exactly. No. But I will say that it's older generation, or maybe, like, younger kids that might like the cartoony kind of feel. So, yeah. And the fantastical, magical kind of stuff, too. But those were Heidi and I's reviews of this. I said that all kind of weird. Mine and Heidi's reviews on Mary Poppins and Mary Poppins Returns. Also, Heidi mentioned Saving Mr. Banks, which is a good...
Highly suggest.
Yeah. I will go watch that because I wanted to watch it anyway. So if you guys want to go watch those, go ahead. Let us know what you think. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And join us next time for more movie reviews.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.